Come on in here, everybody. Come on in here.
Just reiterate the Q&A function too. No questions in the chat like last time.
Yes. Yes. Do you want me to say that? Do you want to say that?
Sure. Let's see. We got 3 people in here so far. Yeah. So just a reminder to throw your questions in the Q&A feature down below rather than the chat. Yeah. Stoked to get this going.
Yeah, and go. So has everybody met Jay? Hey, Jay, say hello.
What's up? How's it going, guys? I'm Jay. I've been here since June, kind of Calvin's right-hand man, social media manager, utility player, all of the above. But yeah, stoked to be here.
We just hit 1,000, around 1,000 followers on the Instagrams. Look at that.
Nice.
We cracked the 1K. We cracked the 1K on the Instagrams. Yeah. Now I got blurry. There you go. Yeah.
Epic.
Fun stuff. Yeah. So if you guys are following on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or any of those places, that is Jay that's managing that. And like me, we do it together. But like sometimes I go in there and mess up his Instagram grid.
Yeah, the aesthetic. It's been quite the journey. It's been a fun one though.
It has been a journey, hasn't it? Yeah. Holy shit. I think that's like the one thing in my journey as an entrepreneur is going like bumbling my way through stuff. I just always so many things that I don't know. And I just throw myself into it. And then I kind of figure it out as I go along. And then eventually I start to get serious about doing some research. And then I realize, oh my God, there's all this information out there and all these people that are happy to help and give guidance and all these things people have figured it out already, right? There's always that process of figuring it out for yourself and with the team, finding the right players on that team and building that up. But yeah, man, there is a lot. We had what was that? That was a week ago, right? Yeah, Tuesday last week we had this full day session with VaynerMedia, Sasha Group and VaynerMedia and Gary Vaynerchuk and their team about, you know, all of everything that they do. And lately I've just been reading up on product management and product marketing and customer success and all of these things and really getting way, way deeper into the business and marketing side of running a SaaS company like I'm doing. So, and just always amazed at how much information is out there, how much there is to learn. And at the same time, it's not just knowing it, but it's also figuring out that inner piece of yourself. Like a lot of those things, you know, I'm sure you guys have experienced that too, right? Where you hit something and you're like, oh my God, like I've been so naive or so stupid or so lame around this. But then you find out that, you know what? I wasn't. Like I was, hold on, looking at.
Calvin, you're muted at the moment. Or is that me?
Let's do it this way. So it was not picking
up
the right microphone, but then I changed it to pick up the right microphone and then it's not working. So I have to fix my setup. We may need a reboot at some point, but we'll do it this way. Cool. Screw it. But that means the other thing here is probably not working either. No, it's not. All right, screw it. Screw that too. All right. Oh, fuck.
Now your screen's black. There you are.
Where are we? Right. Back again. Technology, guys. All right.
Stick
well,
with this.
I'm not going to touch anything now. I completely lost my train of thought. I just wanted to switch the microphone and then all this shit happened.
We're talking about information overload. A lot of information out there.
There's so much information, but like whenever I look back, I just wasn't ready for it until that point, right? And you can go and wish that you were, but you're not. It's just the process of life. It's just the journey, right? You're ready for what you're ready for, but just know that all of the information, all the things are out there. So with that, I'm here to answer your guys' questions. So if you have questions, throw them in the Q&A. I'm here to help you get unstuck with whatever you might be stuck with. I'm here to help bring you clarity on anything that you need clarity on. Throw your questions in the Q&A. If we don't get any questions, we'll just wrap it up and be out of here. No need to waste anyone's time. But if you have questions, that's what I feed off of. So fire them away. Where do we can start just to open the game here. If everybody would just type in the chat where you're calling in from, so we can say hello.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, so that Q&A feature down below, that's where you're going to put your questions, and then I'll bring you on as a panelist. You can turn your video on and engage with Calvin live that way. So start exactly. It up.
Mm. What was your number? Put them in the Q&A. Great. All right. Tom in San Francisco. Great. Welcome, Tom. Who else we got here?
Okay. We've got Heather answering a question. Right.
Okay. Yeah, should we just get into that? I was going to ask you, Jay, what was your number one takeaway from the day with Gary last week, Gary and his team?
Yeah, I would say my number one takeaway is just to do shit, just to start. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, so many people get so in their head about being perfect and, you know, trying to put together a perfect strategy and game plan for social or whatever it is, and they never really actually start. So I think just starting and failing and trying and going, you know, just going through it, that's really the way that Gary found his sauce. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just to start and try shit.
Right.
Really.
Yeah. So. I like that. You mentioned the Gary Vaynerchuk shooting a video of his leg.
Oh yeah. 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 So he posted a TikTok. He's like, this is a video of my leg. Literally, it was like the crease of his leg, and it got like 100,000 plays or something like that. But that was just, the point is, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. He was just talking and it was literally his leg. So it's like, doesn't have to be perfect. Just put stuff out there and, you know, universe will reward you eventually.
Exactly. I saw someone that responded to that on TikTok. I don't know if I can find it again. It was like, Gary said to just do post a picture of his leg, and then he was like, it was like a toilet bowl or something like that. it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's
the man. Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't all right. I can't find it now. Yeah. All right,
let's get into the questions.
So yeah, throw all of your questions in there. And then we've got Heather.
Heather, I'm gonna bring you on as a panelist right now. Let's see.
Did we ever play with that? What was the other thing? It wasn't Squadcast. It was something else. Do we play with that tool, Jay?
I haven't looked into that yet. No.
Maybe rejoin.
Hey, Heather.
Do you want me to put my video on? Ooh, don't know what it looked like. One sec.
I'd love that.
Hi.
I'd love that. Hey there.
Good to bit meet angled. You. There Good we go.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Considering.
Cool. All right. Yeah. What can I do for you?
I'm just finding it hard to get things off my to-do list. It just seems never ending. So it's more like dealing with overwhelm, because I'm about to launch a book in March, and I can't decide if I should do webinars or mini course, or get people on a small course that's free, or get people on a big course that's live, or...
Got it.
Yeah, the strategy is a bit confused because things keep changing, because it's the book's aimed at restaurants and obviously predominantly in the UK, and they're all locked up at the moment. So it feels a bit badly timed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So are you sticking with that timing?
Well, I'm just thinking, if I have to do it online rather than a book tour,
right?
I have to sort of change my strategy. Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like you might. But you were saying overwhelmed. So, like, are you struggling with a strategy, or are you?
So I'm still editing the book manuscript, because I've had some people read it and they've sent me some info back, and, you know, I find a lot of typos and that sort of thing, because basically the size of the project, the size of the book is just overwhelming me.
Mm.
I just want to finish.
Right. Well, I guess that's how you get overwhelmed, isn't it? Like, I mean, overwhelmed. how are you doing overwhelm? What are you focusing on? Like, so put yourself in that like overwhelm state. Like, what are you focusing on? What are you thinking about?
I think I'm worried that it sucks. So if I release it and it's full of typos, or because it's a bit compliance related, if there's an error, and I've quoted some companies and I have to word it correctly so that no one sues me. So all these little tiny things like terms and conditions, for example, on my website, these little things set me off on a bit of a panic because I don't know how to do any of these things. I've never tried anything online before.
Right.
And I'm not typically a writer. I'm more of a talker.
Right. Well, welcome to the world of entrepreneurship where we get to do all kinds of shit that we don't know a thing about. All day long. All day long. Yeah. So, I mean, so it sounds like your move is to focus on things in the future and things that you can't necessarily control. And then you feel shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Too much uncertainty.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, how do I do that?
Well, but what's the next thing that you need to do?
Finish the book.
No, the next thing.
The next thing, get some clients. So I was planning.
One action that you need to take. What's the next action?
Create a webinar presentation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, literally, all right, even that, let's break that down. What's the first step there?
Have a rest, probably.
What?
Have a rest, probably. It's all consuming, like, yeah.
No. Like, you're creating a webinar presentation. What's the first step in creating a webinar presentation? Do you know what you want to say?
Open PowerPoint. Do you know
what the title? Open PowerPoint. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way to combat overwhelm is just to focus on the next step, right? Just the thing that you're doing right now, put your focus and attention on that. And forget all the other stuff. Just forget it. Because it, like, worrying about it does not make you better at accomplishing this one thing. And not
I think I need the strategy. I think I need the strategy, like the few steps to know what I'm doing in this webinar. I need to know if I'm doing a pitch at the end and what that leads to.
Sure. Yeah. So it sounds like there's some overall goal strategy. What's your goal with the book? What's your goal?
I want to have about 10 one-to-one clients a year where I help them make more money in their restaurants by being more inclusive. But then I want like online courses where people that, you know, can't afford their sort of services can still get the knowledge and lots of examples so they can do it themselves.
All right. So which do you want to do first?
Don't know. Do you think it's indecision that's maybe overwhelming me? I think I want a couple of one-to-ones first.
Yeah.
And then I can do a good job with them and know it works and have all the proof. And
right. Have you done any so far?
I've done one guy I've advised as sort of an experiment. Yep.
Okay.
And he's giving me a testimonial. Yep.
And are you in desperate need of income or?
I won't die if I don't get an income in the short term. Yeah. It'd be nice for my ego.
And so the book is based on other people's examples and stories, not
there's lots of interviews personal. With industry experts that suggest that if you have a clean vegan option on your menu, which involves a lot of allergy management, so it's not a simple thing, it's sort of a learning experience, then you can do a lot with marketing to attract niche markets and their families and their friends.
Interesting. Yeah, so you can help people. Okay. Help. Yeah. Cool. So, I mean, so I think I would just be laser beam focused on getting those clients. Like, the book might help you get there, but it might not be the shortest or easiest path to get there, honestly.
Yeah.
I know that's like, it's a little bit late in the game to say that, but you know, if you're like, all right, I'm going to promote the book. I'm going to launch the book. I'm going to sell a lot of the book. And then, like, what you're really after is like 10 clients, you know, let's say the first three or four of whom maybe not even pay you very much. You just need to get, you know, some more chops and some more testimonials and some more reviews. Right. And then you can start to charge more and more for those services. I think the book can be super helpful as a calling card, right? So maybe it's just like targeting, you know, say 100 people that you think could be, or restaurants, or a couple hundred, and just mailing them a copy and saying, hey, I wrote this book. Here's a short, simple cover letter, so they don't have to read the whole thing. So the point of the book is not so much that they read it, but that you have some oomph to you, right? Some credentials, and just a letter that says, hey, this is what I do. Right now I'm taking on clients. I'm validating this set. Honestly, I know from experience that it works, and I'm validating my methodology for working with people or something like that. I'm just trying to figure out, you can even do it for free or at a very low cost or with a guarantee or something, just to get again some actual case stories from your own work under your belt. But I also don't want to, you send
give
the book
me more
to
work to do.
No, but I also don't want to send the book to 100 different people, and then have them all be like, oh, she does it for free, right? Because you want to sell these people after, of course, right? So how to position that so you don't lose that? But you can also just mail them out to people and say, just leave it up and say, hey, if you're interested in having a conversation about this, reach out and get in touch. I think that could work. That could work really well, because then you can just figure it out on the phone. You don't have to tell them anything about any pricing or anything. And you can just kind of suss it out, and you can see, yeah, this person would be super fun to work with. They don't have a lot of money, but I think I could prove a case. I'm not going to charge this guy, or this guy, they can afford it, whatever. We'll charge them. So it's up to you.
I've actually got a call with someone on Friday, but they're a much bigger company than I'd realized.
Yeah, sweet.
So yeah, it might happen.
Congrats.
Anyway. That's
amazing.
Yeah, I think I like the minimalist approach. I think I'm getting too overwhelmed with these funnels and things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you need funnels for this kind of thing, because your market is again, you just want to start out and get a feel for the market and some relationships and get some experience under your belt, and you can be super much more sniper rifle than shotgun, right? Much more targeted. And yeah,
The book should be in a funnel to get people on a course, because then it's sort of an automated thing that happens on the side.
Yeah.
Then you might
pick
some razor sharp audience from that.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. I would do that later. One thing at
if
a time.
If the book's released in March, though, I do feel time pressured.
Time pressure for what?
So the end of March is when the book's supposed to be released. So I do have sponsors that I have to give them the book. So I do have some deliverables.
Right.
Yeah, it's just the date that I plan to do a few online interviews and things like that. A little bit like a virtual book tour, but I haven't quite developed.
Right.
The...
Yeah, I mean, that's great. It's always got to get good to get some publicity. It's more about what are you hoping to get out of it, right? Because
it's
you're not going to make money.
Yeah, it leads to these 10 clients that I'd like to work closely with.
Right. And I think... And yeah, you can do that, or you can just look them up and send them the thing in the mail, right? Which is going to cost you what? I don't know, 20, 30 bucks or, quid, I guess, per customer, right? Which is pretty cheap, honestly. And if they get this lumpy thing, chances are they're at least going to notice and respond to it. You're going to see a higher conversion rate from anything that you do online. If you do
it's
a webinar,
quite unique to do things by post these days as well, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And
yeah,
if you do
did think about lumpy post.
Yeah. Just send it to them, right? People notice that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because if you do a webinar, where are you going to get the traffic for that from?
Just from my network of people in a similar field, which might be a bit not fully competing, but sort of competing for attention, I assume.
Right.
So it's a bit tricky.
Would they have lists of your customers, or would they?
So they have restaurant clients, and they give them consulting services, whereas I'm more the finesse on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So would you want to be like, they bring you in? Is that like you want to sort of be a reseller through them?
Yeah, or a trainer. Or you want to work just them, because a lot of people do compliance, but they don't make a marketing point of it. So if you have allergy management, you might do that to, you know, protect against litigation, but you can actually, there's not a lot of people that do have very good allergy management. So you could actually attract these minority groups, and people are afraid to, and I'm going to show them that if they're already doing allergy management, there's so many other things they can do as well.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a different approach, right? Then your customer is not the restaurant, then your customer is the other consultant. So that's a different sale, but it's also like, it can be a great sale because you know, they can bring you in on multiple projects potentially.
And if I have clients that need better food safety or better allergy management, I can bring these consultants in as affiliates or like an agent. I just haven't figured out how that works yet.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Or they just pay you or whatever kind of deal that you can strike there. Yeah. Or if it's a percentage licensing, if there's some material that you provide, they just share with them and then like you get some percentage of some
I could do an affiliate scheme on Simplera that I just send them to my courses for their own benefit. Then I can have them as my audience separately.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just have to be confident that I'm not gonna then do the compliance work for them. Because we've got similar credibility in that area.
Right. Yeah. I mean, totally. So that's exactly. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Awesome.
Did that help?
What am I doing next? I've forgotten.
What are you doing next?
I'm not worrying. Is that what I'm doing next?
That's what you're doing next. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess since the book is not ready,
target shooting.
You can't send out the lumpy mail quite yet. Right. So it's just like if you're editing, you're editing. If you're preparing a webinar, it sounds to me like be super clear on what your goal is, what's your objective, and don't have too many of them, right? Just be very, this is what I'm doing now. This is the goal here. The goal for the webinar is to sell these other consultants on why they should hire me. It's not really about the book. It's about selling me and using the book and the fact that the book is on its way to give me credibility, right?
And then, so that's already now, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, clarity around what you want and what your strategy is. Yeah, there's a tool called the IO map, intermediate objective map or something. It comes from a book called The Goal. And the whole idea in The Goal is to do bottlenecks. So there's another book, same author, I think, called The Factory or something like that. But picture like a typical factory, right? It's got all kinds of machines and all kinds of processing that happens. And then stuff comes in here, goes to the first machine, stockpiles in front of the first machine, processes output from there, goes to the next machine, stockpiles there, output from there, then goes into the next machine, et cetera, and then various routes. And so there's going to be one primary bottleneck in that system somewhere, one bottleneck, which is, so you can optimize all these things, but if there's this one machine where everything is piling up in front of that machine because it doesn't have the capacity, well, nothing's going to change, right? You're not going to change the throughput unless you address that one. You can optimize all the other things, but if you're not addressing this one. So from that book comes this concept of the IO map. And the principle is that you work backwards, right? So what we tend to do is work forwards. We're like, oh, what are all the, I got a website and social media and also have the book and the cover design and then fulfillment center and I need to have it for sale on a shop somewhere and webinar and run some ads, all these things, right? We get stressed out. Instead, start backwards. What is the goal? The goal is 10 clients. All right. What absolutely positively has to be in place in order for me to land 10 clients? Well, I don't know. Do we need a webinar? Technically, no. Do we need a book? Not really, honestly, right?
The process of the book probably was useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably what, got what I needed out of the book already. Yeah.
Probably, right? Exactly. Yeah. So it's like thinking backwards from what do you want to achieve and what has to be in place. And then you draw this tree structure from that. And that tells you what needs to be done. And it's usually a lot less than you think.
I'll Google it.
Yeah. IO map. IO map. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. This is super fun.
Have a nice day.
Thanks, right. Heather.
Do I turn myself off or do you turn me off?
I got you. I got you. No worries.
We have the big switch. All right. Thank you.
There we go. All right. Okay. That's cool. And next we've got Lynn.
Have you heard of the
you touched a little bit on the affiliate. I haven't. No.
No.
I'll check that out
really
for sure.
Cool. Yeah. It's a really smart technique.
Awesome. System. Yeah. I'll definitely check that out. It sounds rad. Okay, we've got Lynn. You actually just touched on this a little bit, but she's asking about best practices for referrals and how she can automate the process. Lynn, I'm going to go ahead and make you a panelist.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to turn your video on if you want. No worries if you don't.
Okay.
Cool.
What up, Lynn?
Hi there.
Hey, good to see you.
I was thinking more testimonials instead of referrals when I was typing. I don't
know,
typing and listening. So I'm an interior designer.
Yes.
I've been working towards moving my business into more of a consultation style. I actually left the firm I was with in order to do that, like way before COVID even hit. So, and particularly,
what does that mean, consultation style?
I sit here in my chair on my computer and do your interior design work, as opposed to like showing up at your house and measuring everything and.
Got it. Okay.
You know, shipping, far more of like helping you create a plan as opposed to doing the whole plan for you.
Executing the plan. Got it. Perfect. Yeah.
So I'm a color specialist. Like that's really my strength. The business that I'm trying to build is for mothers and daughters together. Because one of the reasons that I started down this path is because I realized that the girls didn't get a lot of support in making their dream, you know, their dream rooms come true. Basically, mom went to Target, bought them a bedspread, picked an ugly color out, painted their room, and then they grew up into women that had no trust in themselves to be able to design their spaces.
Interesting.
Because most of my clients are still coming through my color consultations and all of that, I've been trying to build that part of my platform up so I can fund this other part of my business. So that being said.
So you're trying to build which part up so you can fund which part?
I'm trying to increase my color consultations that I do just sitting here because it's easy, it's quick money, no follow-up, easy turnaround. So that I can build out this other part of my business. But I think because as a designer, my strength has always been helping people think that their ideas were theirs. I struggle with asking for testimonials because I've cultivated this idea that they can do it. And that's such a central part to the business I'm building. My testimonials say that, but I feel like I do really major things for people. Like, and I want my website to say that.
Right. So have you asked for testimonials and what has been the result?
No, because I suck at that. I think I want to step away from the process of saying, hey, can you give me a testimonial? I want to just automatically, you know, instead I do get these glowing emails that say, you know, Lynn, this turned out fantastic. Thank you for all your help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a way to automate it so that?
I mean, yes, yes, there is. And like the first thing is like, so what I always do is when people send me those glowing emails, I immediately say, wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. You just made my day. Can I quote you on that?
Mm.
Right.
See, I make it way too complicated.
I get permission to share. And so mm-hmm. I'll just share their spontaneous words. Because a lot of the times, and I'll lightly edit it sometimes and then get permission for that, right? But like oftentimes just the spontaneous utterings are so much more convincing and compelling than like answering questions in a formal way, right? So I would just do that. Like, wow, I'm so like honored and flattered. So glad that I could be a part of your process and discovering this hidden talent of yours, whatnot. And like, yeah, can I quote you? And then you just like literally use screenshots of emails as testimonial on your website as a testimonial, right? Because again, that gives it more credibility. Or if they post on Facebook, you just like, or like, hey, would you mind posting that on my Facebook page? And then you take a picture of it on from Facebook and post that on your website. Again, that gives it more like versus just in the abstract. Now people can see, oh, someone actually posted this on Facebook. And that carries a little more weight too, right? It just makes it more real for people and they can connect with it. So yeah, I think you're doing great. Just do that, get permission to share the things or people are already saying.
No, that's so much easier than, you know, this whole complicated process that I had envisioned. I love that. Yeah. Just, you know, can I quote you on that?
Yeah, exactly. And people are like, yes, happy to, or I mean, it's very rare that I get anything other than yes, of course. So yeah. And sometimes what we'll do then is we'll actually have someone from the team reach out and interview. Netta, are you still here on the call? No, Netta,
I don't think she is.
Jumped
no.
off. Okay. So yeah, we'll have Netta reach out. I honestly, we started doing that recently. So we'd have her get on a call with people, do an interview with them on video, asking, you know, a series of questions. I think it's something like, you know, were you skeptical before you joined this? And then like, were you, sorry, how do I get Lynn back? I'm seeing, can you say something?
I'm here.
Cool, say a little more.
I'm here.
Oh, great. Now Zoom switched over to you. It was showing me like Jay's screens. Like, yeah, I just had a tiny version of you. Perfect. So, yeah. So Netta will reach out and then she'll ask me, like, were you skeptical before you joined? And like, what were you overcome? I can find those questions somewhere that we have, or Netta can find them and send them to you. But I got them from Perry Belcher, who's a copywriting guy. But there's like three standard questions about like what were specific results that you achieved and things like that. Mm. I am not aware that we have made this work yet. Like people are basically not that, they're not very, they don't take us up on that as much as just hitting reply and saying, hey, can I quote you on that? So,
okay.
But that could be another step. Another thing that I know a lot of people do and that we've talked about internally instituting as well, and I don't know the status of it, is, you know, again, when people's like, we, you know, yeah, this one we haven't implemented, but I've heard from friends, entrepreneurs who have a system like that, where you do an NPS score. You know, are you familiar with NPS? Mm-hmm. It's like Net Promoter Score. You've seen these, I'm sure, where they'll ask you on a scale from 0 to 10 or 1 to 10, I forget, how likely are you to recommend this product or service to a friend? And then if people say, there's like, I think if it's like 8 to 10 or 9 and 10, that means you're a promoter. And then if you're like the next range, 5, 6, 7-ish is neutral. And then anything below that is a detractor. And so that's a way to just see how people are liking you. So it's like, it requires some volume, but then what you can do with it, the interesting thing is not in the number, but in the conversation that follows. So if you like, so if you send something out, and you can totally automate that, there are tools that do this. promoter.io and delightit.com and others. I just came across one that actually seemed better than either of those, and now I can't remember what it was, but there are tools that does this. Point being, you send that question out and you can automate that via SMS or email or whatever. And then if they say 9 or 10, you're like, that's amazing. Like, would you be willing to provide a testimonial, right? And if they say, you know, lower than that, you say, hey, sorry to hear you had a bad experience. Like, what can I do to make it right? Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's really taking temperature on people and then following up appropriately based on what they said. And so that's something that you can totally automate, right? And like, you will be in there responding to people, right? But the process of it sending that, your system being set up to send that out to people, we might build it into Simplero at some point as well. I'd love to have that built in automatically and included in everything you can see on your customers in there. But we don't have it yet. So, but yes, that's something that you can absolutely automate.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's very helpful. I think I was making it way too complicated. So
Yeah. Great. All right. Thanks, Lynn. Thank you.
Cool. Appreciate you, Lynn,
coming here. All right.
Okay. Next, we've got Tom. He's not going to turn his video on, but he's going to come on and do audio. He's in the middle of a move, I guess. But he says, I'd love to hear some top examples of best practices Simplero clients are using to get customers and convert them into paying clients. Not what folks are doing on social media, but using Simplero specifically. All right, Tom, I'm going to bring you on right now.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? Wait, you're muted now again. I think you're unmuted for a sec.
Here we go.
Hey, Calvin, how are you?
Hey, man, good to hear your voice again.
Likewise. Hey, yeah, sorry, I'm rummaging around. I don't think I get a good signal where I'm anyway. But yeah, I'm just really curious what you're seeing, because you obviously see this. What's working really well in general for people in, for clients in Simplero to make it work for them, to basically get the system working? And, and specifically, there's so much talk about social media these days that I want to purposely take that off the table because there's like
Infinite
approach. And I'm not even sure that, like for me, just to kind of give context, I'm a coach and you had mentioned a minute ago, the idea of 10 clients. I mean, that's kind of in my realm. I'm looking for kind of a maximum of like 30 clients. So mostly one-on-one. And so my sense is I'm going to be, what's working so far, I should put it that way, best for me is not in the social media world.
What is working for you?
What's working? I mean, for me, it's been word of mouth more than anything, and just outreach and, leveraging, basically leveraging relationships I already have, right? I haven't necessarily joint ventures, a little bit of that, but it's mostly been just kind of direct outreach, honestly. And I just need to, I feel like if I can systematize that, I'll be pretty good.
Yeah. Tell me about the direct outreach. Who are you reaching out to? How are you reaching out?
Well, I mean, I guess talking about a lot in social media marketing where you're tapping into other groups. But for me, honestly, it hasn't been so much of intentionally getting into groups, for the purpose of marketing. It's actually, I was just already in groups. I was already, when I started hearing about it, it's like, I'm already in these groups. Hey, I already know these people. Let me reach out to them. And so it's very simple.
How do you reach out? Do you send them DMs on Facebook or what do you do?
Honestly, for me, I haven't done a whole lot of that because I haven't been a huge fan of it. But I can change my tune. But
I'm not recommending that, but I was just curious.
Okay, what you do. It's been more the people that I would develop a relationship with them just within the group, right? Just through somebody make a comment, I'd comment on theirs, I'd get to know them a little bit. And then at that point, maybe we would either message or I'd get an email or something like that. So it's been a slow process, which is great, but it's, I know I can use Simplero better to leverage it.
So how many clients do you have?
So currently I have 9 clients.
Right. And you like 30 concurrent clients?
30 is kind of a maximum for me, mm-hmm. for one-on-one. This is one-on-one mm-hmm. work. It's not group. It's not group coaching.
Right. So what's your target? Is that 30 or is it?
I'm sorry.
What's your target?
Yeah, so we can say 30 is the target. The reason I'm saying maximum 30 is because it kind of depends on. I basically have two different approaches. One is, I guess let me tell you my ideal. My ideal would be to have 20 clients year long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of this is because I have another business, right? So it's not like, you know, this is not my end all be all.
Right.
But if I could get 20, maintain 20, and let's make it more specific for this year. I might want to grow it beyond that, but I'm just looking at what I like to do, the time I use. I like to have 20 people, but full time. Right now, though, I've got a combination. We've got like three mm-hmm. people who are all year, and the others are in a month long program, which they may go into full year. So it's kind of been. Yeah.
Are you asking for a full an annual commitment?
I am. Right now, I'm not. I am asking for it, but I'm giving them the opportunity to get to know me and try me out in a sense.
Sure.
In the month program. So that's kind of the marketing rationale for the month. But also gives, you know, it's also effective. And mm-hmm. so far, the three people I do have now, mm-hmm. who are year long coaching, they did that. So it worked.
Yeah. No. All right.
It's just, cool. I'm just not doing enough of it. And I just need to get a little bit more uptake.
Yeah. What I would do immediately is try to see if I could leverage the clients that you have and the clients that you've had and those successes into more clients, right? So that would mean reminding them of like when you're like, even like before the first month renewal, like what, like sit them down. It's like, all right, think back to when we started and like, what were your goals and how far you've come in this month? What are some specific outcomes that you've realized so far? Just so you set the frame and remind them of the value they've gotten, right? And so that sets them up for renewing, for like, imagine what you could get in a year, right? Sets them up for renewing for that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, similarly, at a reasonable point, probably a little later in it, like again, remind them of the results they've achieved, the clarity, the specific outcomes, and then like just ask, like, you know, can you think of like two or three other people that you would recommend this to, right? That you think would benefit from this, and then engage in a conversation with them.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I recognizing as I'm hearing you that I think I've thought I've been doing that, but I really could have a much more systematized way of doing that. Yeah, I haven't really been doing that as a rule.
Having a process for it and just being like, this is like, I could spend my time, you know, going out there marketing, getting clients, or I could spend my time working with you, right? I'm part of a coaching program, SaaS Academy, with Dan Martell. And mm-hmm. he says up front, and there's a contract that says, you know what, in order to keep the marketing costs low and the value high, and me focused as the founder of this thing, focused on delivering as much value as possible, we expect you to bring one or two referrals over over the year that you're a member here, right? They've never approached me about it or held me to it, but the expectation set from the beginning, right? That's part of it. And I'm like, all right, makes sense. It's a little bit, okay, all right, whatever. I don't know what I'm getting into here, right? But it's also, I think it's fair. So I think that's something that you can consider, just making that very explicit. Like, you know, you're not going to sue them if they don't, obviously, right? So it's more a framing thing of setting that expectation and explaining why, right? Hey, it allows me to invest more in you because I don't have to be distracted by having to market. And obviously,
I love that framework.
Do it.
I'm all for that.
Right. only do it if you feel like you're getting value. If you're not getting value, like, let's, you know, solve that.
Cool, cool. Now, could you share with me what you see working in Simplero is along these lines? I mean, like, one of the things that obviously comes to mind for me is using the email automations and things. I mean, a lot of what I'm talking about is, on some degree, I want to maintain, obviously, the relationships. I want to use email more effectively. Ideally less social media, because it's just right. Becoming more and more clear that it's getting to where if you're not already out there and you're not only already hitting home runs, that it's going to be a chore. And I don't even need that. It's like, I don't need to get in front of thousands of people to get 10, you know, to right. get 30 clients.
right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What are you helping people with?
Specifically with their purpose. I call my work Walk Your Why. All right. So it's everything I do, I have several different kind of jumping in points, but it all goes back to kind of this philosophy that we can bring everything back to our purpose, to our why.
Right.
Yeah. So I have a lot of different ways of approaching that. People love it. It's that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I think so. Like, I'll direct answer to your question. To your direct question is, I don't know, because I don't look into what people are doing, and it's not something that I have my finger on the pulse with. I know that our concierge team is obviously helping their specific clients with specific things. So our concierge and support teams our support team obviously sees, you know, some of what people are doing. So they would have a better picture of that. Honestly, I don't know. But what I will say is, like, if you're not doing like just a basic newsletter, I would definitely start there. That's a good way to just stay top of mind for people. So are you doing that?
Yeah, I'm revisiting it. I was doing it, and now I'm kind of coming back to it, but I agree. I think it was effective, and I need to, I kind of got off the track, and I need to come back and get more process oriented on that as well. Cause I want to be more clear and in the topics. Right. They were kind of disjointed. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just having a
feedback, but I don't think it was really helping me, right, nurture the relationships toward
and make the sale. I would think too. So are you familiar with a guy named Steve Chandler?
Huh, I don't know that name.
He wrote a book called The Prosperous Coach or something. Steve Chandler.com. He has some books on this
book
stuff.
That book sounds interesting. So maybe I know him and I just wouldn't paint it. Just forgot who the author was.
he's an interesting character.
Is he the guy who says he won't coach for less than 2 hours? I'm trying to remember if that's the right same guy.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Anyway, but I know that he had his approach is similar to yours. It's very conversational. And so, like, I think like a great newsletter for you, I think, could be just telling stories from your clients and from your own experience and stories that you see others anonymized about your clients, obviously. Right. But you can be like, especially about clients, you can be like, the other day, and it doesn't have to be recent or whatever, but the other day I was talking to a client and he was struggling with so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And then you like lead people through story to the insight that you help people, that you help the client get to. Right. And then you're like, you know, does this resonate with you, right? Is this something that you can relate to? Just like hit reply here. And then like, but always encourage people to hit reply and start a conversation with you, right? And then like get people to talk about what they're struggling with in email. And then you can be like, oh, would you like some help with that, right? And then you can get on a call with them, and then you can just like help them out and say, hey, is this something that you'd like to continue? I've got coaching programs and this is how it works. And, you know, it's a year long commitment. You can choose to, I would frame it as a year long commitment, but you can choose to terminate in the first 45 days or something like that. Right. But set the expectation up front that it's a year long commitment. Like, this is what you're going to get. Hold out some goodies for people. So past that termination date, that there's something that they can look out to, just that you're teasing, right? So like, well, and like after the 2 month mark, we're going to have this special experience together, which is really exciting. And a lot of people have reported it's like major breakthrough for them, that kind of thing, right? Which happens to be after the cancellation option, right? So you're enticing.
So I love that. I mean, I love where you're coming from. I really like the idea for the newsletters. That really resonates. And funny, I'm not sure why I didn't do that. I think I maybe did something like that once or twice, but then I kind of got away from that. So I really appreciate that. That's super helpful.
Yeah. The more that you can model, I think, for people, the behavior that you want, right? Which is like, like the other day I was writing a newsletter and I was talking about this, and this person wrote back and we had this conversation, blah, 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 right? So you're modeling for them what you want them to do. And then it became a client and we were able to blah, 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 right? So, and then that makes people, I don't know if you've seen the studies that show that whenever there's a well-publicized suicide rates generally skyrocket. Right. People model on other people. They see this in the newspaper or on the news or whatever, that someone committed suicide. And they're like, yeah, I've been thinking about that too. Maybe now's the time. Right. It's just how we fucking operate. Right. So if you're modeling for
people, I'll make sure not to use that topic. Then.
If you're modeling for people that they engage with you and then they become clients and then they achieve their goals, then fuck yeah, that's what you're going to lead people to do. Which is good for you and it's good for them.
Yeah. No, really good stuff. I really appreciate that. And I like I said, I have 9 clients in my own practice, but I have quite a few clients in another practice that I'm involved in. And those stories can apply too. So
exactly.
That's great. So yeah. One more thing about the year long, because this is really important for me, because I've gone back and forth on this. I know a lot of people do, you know, like how to price, how to lead people into your work. And of course, there's all kinds of stuff out there in marketing about, you know, you start with the $7 thing and then the $37 thing and then the $97 thing and then the $9.97 and then all that crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get it. It works in some scenarios. But like what you're saying kind of counters that whole thing. And I lean more into what you're I resonate more with what you're saying. Just don't play all the games. Just invite them, let them know what you do. You do your long coaching and why. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And by the way, because really my framework for this is the people I'm working with, for the most part, they're going to want more time. It's not about me trying to get more time of their time. If I could do it, if I could accomplish what most of my clients want to accomplish in a month, I would do it. But it's typically not doable. They just need the time to build. Right. Yep. So the year long does make sense. It's not a ploy. It's not just trying to, let me get less people paying more money. It's not about that.
Right.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that might be more effective for me than, because basically I was using the month coaching as a way of saying, hey, we can get some results. Mm-hmm. I'm still being transparent that I recommend the year, you know, kind of depending. It's true that there are some people, they have one issue right now. They just want to resolve, right? But part of the reason was, one, so they can get a taste of it, but also to have a lower price point, right? Step in the door at a lower price point. So what about that part of it? Is that,
well, you can just break it down into payments, right? So it's a year-long commitment, you can pay monthly.
So I see what you're saying. So that's where you're saying, if you decide to not continue after a month, then you're good. You just, it's that low price.
Yeah. Yeah. But set the expectation up front that it's a year-long commitment and you're only going to work with people who are serious. Like if you want change, it's going to take time, it's going to take commitment, right? And there's going to be a time, you can preframe that too. There's going to be a point where you're going to hate me and you're going to want to quit. And that's exactly when you need to keep going.
How'd right? you know that?
Right. Yeah.
No, yeah, I love it. Okay, cool. That's really awesome, Calvin. You're so affirming in many ways because a lot of these things are you know, resonating with things I've tried, but then you go out there and you learn, you know, they tell you everything but that.
Yeah.
I've been in business long enough and other things that it's like, wait a minute, all this stuff that's out there is not necessarily pure and true. So
I'm all for making it simple and going straight for what it is that you want, right? So if you were like, well, what I want are those 30-year-long client commitments, let's go for that and then not worry about building up all these other products and funnels and all that other stuff that you're not really about.
Right, right. No, thank you much. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. Good luck.
Cool.
Keep me posted.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right. Good luck, Tom. You're gonna crush it, man.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right.
All right, brother Jay. Is that it for today? It seems like the hour's up.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool.
That seems like all we got. I mean, we've got a few more people in here that didn't ask questions, but I guess they were just sitting in and listening to the gold.
That's also
cool. So, yeah, we totally can wrap it up.
All right, cool. Thank you, guys. Any final thoughts or questions? Well, I guess no questions, but yeah. What else we got? I think that's it. So yeah, keep it simple, guys. Go chase your dreams. Go for what you really want, right? Not for what you think you have to do to get to some place. Not for what you think you have to settle for. None of that stuff. Like, what is it you actually really want? If you could have just anything, if you could have it just the way that you wanted it, what would that look like? And let's figure out how to get there, right? So much more fun. Gay Hendricks talks about having luck-worthy goals, right? If you have mediocre, so-so, not quite exciting, inspiring goals, who gives a crap, right? Who gives a fuck? It's not interesting. It's not exciting. It's not exciting for you. It's not exciting for the other people that you need to bring along on the journey with you. I remember like one of my favorite autobiographies is Arnold Schwarzenegger's book. It's called Total Recall. It's phenomenal. It's really funny. And he talks about setting that goal of being in the top three movie stars in America. And one of the things he says is it's so much easier to set the sights that high because there's less competition up there. Everybody's competing for like the 10 to 50 rank because they're limiting their ambitions. And so there's way more fierce competition in that area than if you set your sights all the way at the top and just freaking go for it. Really, really fascinating.
Yep.
Really counterintuitive, but yeah, man, go for what you actually really dream of. It's my final thoughts for you today. Thanks for being here. Thank you very much. All right, we'll see you. We'll catch you next time. What are you saying, Jay?
Awesome. I was just saying, shoot for the moon, land amongst the stars, baby. I love it.
There you go. Yes. All right, Jacob's cool, guys. Thank you so much. Another day. Absolutely, we will do this another day. Can you make sure that we ping Jacob whenever we go on next, if we can figure out Jacob's contact?
Yeah, let's see.
Cool. All right.
Perfect. All right.
Can we?
Let's see, Jacob, could you just put your email in the chat real quick?
All right. I'll let you guys figure that out. Thanks, guys. See you.
Cool.
Bye.
Got it. Jacob@hellomind.com. Cool, man. Thanks, Jacob. I'll reach out and let you know when the next one is. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good one.